Well, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy tonight, please. I'm on the other end of a cold trying to get over that. And I appreciate my wife. She's so loving. And she's so loving that she gives me her colds most of the time. But I don't hold that against her. She says, well, if you don't want it, don't kiss me. I said, honey, you know that's impossible. She's so sweet. But anyway, we're on the other end of that, and I think we'll be better by Christmas. Enough time to go join about 25 of her family members where we usually all, you know, pass around the colds again. And that's just the way that works anyway. But anyway, I'm thankful to be feeling better. And oh, by the way, was able to make the delivery. And thank you for all those that gave. I realize some of you may not know. I believe when did I make known the need of the family? It was at last. Yeah, it was a week ago. It was a Wednesday night service, and I just made the need known that night. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, you folks responded. We had that hallway right there at the crossroads. We had that little section filled up with goods, food, laundry detergent. We had two frozen turkeys that we took, two bikes, and lots of clothes and miscellaneous things, and had piled up my truck and back seat and the back of the truck, front seat, and took them over. And it took two of them, Mrs. Brookshire, the principal, and Mr. Ryan, the guidance counselor. It took both of their cars, and they delivered it. And so I hadn't heard anything back from them yet, but they were just telling me, oh, Pastor, this is awesome. You guys went way over what you had to do, but they just explained that this family is going to be so thankful and so excited. And so we gave them a nice Christmas card. I just wrote a little personal message in there from our church, letting them know that we love them and care about them. I don't even know their names, but I just addressed them, dear neighbor, and trust that the Lord will get all the glory from it. And that's what we're going to do. But thank you guys for responding. I trust that they'll have a sweet Christmas. Those children will. And thank you for responding. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that after the principal and those they get back from school. I may hear him something before then, but definitely when they get back, I'll be doing some follow-up and look forward to passing on those things to you. But just praise the Lord for the giving hearts here. And let me mention some other prayer requests after our message tonight. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read beginning. Verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus, our marvelous Savior. We rejoice around His Word tonight. And Lord, we ask that You would guide us by the power of Your Spirit, and that You would teach us and strengthen us and draw us closer to Yourself. Lord, You know we want to be prepared for these days and this week of revival that we have planned, this week of revival meetings. And we're looking to have our hearts prepared and ready for the man of God to come and to give the Word of God. And we pray that our hearts would be tender and ready to go. And even tonight, would you do some prep work, Lord, in my heart, in every heart that's present. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Sunday night, we talked about grace, God's marvelous grace. We talked about the fact that we need to see each other as God sees us and to understand how God sees us. And we talked a lot about the fact that our value before the Lord. And what a blessing it is that as a child of God, it does not matter what I do. My value does not change to Almighty God. You have to understand that to truly understand grace. That as a child of God, no matter what, whether how much good I do or how much bad I do, it does not change the value one iota. Because when God sees me, He no longer sees Brinson Jennings. When God sees me, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the doctrinal word imputeth means. It means when God imputeth unto us righteousness, He put righteousness upon my account, totally covered. And my value before God cannot change, and we must understand that when we walk in this life of grace and understanding what God thinks of us. So the state of my value never changes, and I'm thankful for that, but I'm going to talk about something tonight that does change, even before the eyes of God, and definitely before the eyes of men and women and boys and girls. That is, the state of my value never changes, but the state of my vessel does change. The state of my vessel. What is my vessel? Well, it's this body. It's this thing called life that God has given me as a gift to be a representation of His grace. To be a representation of Christ Jesus while here on earth. And if we're not careful, we get so caught up in, oh, it's all under grace. It's all under grace. Well, yes, it's under grace. Thank God for that. I don't dispute that one bit, my dear friends. In fact, I glory in that. I'm thankful for the grace of God tonight. But do not let us get into a false conception of grace, to where we overlook the very fact that God has given us a vessel that does matter how we carry ourselves. It matters to God and it matters to other people on how we ought to do that. And tonight I just want to talk about a few things about being a usable vessel. And the context of what we read tonight, when we read there in verse number 20 about vessels of gold and of silver, the context of this passage is speaking about those that are useful for the will of God and for the glory of God and those that are not. And I'll speak more about that here in just a moment. But I'm thankful tonight that the value does not change, but the state of our vessel can change. And that's why we do have times like this, by the way, where we can have a week of meetings, where we call revival meetings. You can call them a Bible conference. You can call it whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is, we're asking God to help us and remind us how we can be strengthened in our vessels. How we can think more clearly and more godly. How we can carry ourselves in a way that honors Him and draws other people to Jesus Christ. That is indeed what the Lord wants us to do. You know, God's children are all equally saved. Amen? There's nobody that's saved more than another, okay? But there is different stages of God's children being sanctified. Okay? All God's people are saved equally, but they're not all sanctified equally, because sanctification gives me a responsibility as well for letting God work in my life. And that's what the Lord will see here. We're going to see that there are those that say, Lord, I want you to work in my life. And there are some that say, Lord, I don't want you to work in my life. And Paul will address that with Timothy. And we'll see here by being a vessel that's fit for the master's use will be better used for the Lord. And, you know, Christ's kingdom is more helped, and His purposes are advanced, and His will is furthered in our lives. His perfect will is furthered in our lives as we realize that our vessel does matter to God and for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to ask ourselves tonight before we close, what type of vessel are we? Are we a vessel, as the Word of God would say here in our passage, are we a vessel that is to honor, or is it to dishonor? Now, I will say this. There are times in our lives where we can become contaminated, our vessels, through various ways. It can be through activity, entertainment. It can be through another person. It can be. But listen, Paul tells us here how we are to respond when we do run into some contamination with our vessels. And look with me there what he says here in verse 21. He's going to tell us what to do. It's very simple. It says here that you are a vessel. And he says, if any man therefore purge himself from these. Now, who is these referring to? We'll look over back in the last verse. He's talking about some to dishonor. All right? So, with the Lord saying right here, there is a need for us for a man to purge himself from these. Who are these? That is the vessels that are to dishonor. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means anything in my life that draws me away from Christ. It may, again, be something that whatever avenue it may be. It could be a person. It could be an activity. Whatever the case may be. God is saying here, listen, you have got to purge yourself. If any man purge himself from these. What does that word purge mean? It simply means to cleanse. To protect yourself and cleansing yourself from that fact that contaminates you. You know, do you guys remember that Ebola outbreak here back in 2014? It was a bad situation. I was in Niger for part of that, and of course there was a little bit of a scare, but thankfully the climate there gets so intensely hot, and it can get so dry as that it would be difficult for the Ebola to live. To survive where the area we were. But boy, there in Sierra Leone and Guinea and other places, it was just an epidemic. It was awful. Over 11,000 people died, and there was one situation concentrated where there was this faith healer. He was just sort of a witch doctor type thing, and he tried to heal this one person. And of course, he couldn't. The Ebola got him. And at his funeral, these different doctors and researchers came back to try to find out exactly where it started and how many people were contaminated in that area. It was said that there was nearly 300 people contaminated just at that funeral. Just at that funeral. It was passed through touching, sweating, and those things of that nature, just rubbing against each other, and how hot it is in Sierra Leone. It is just so humid. And it was passed that many people. And you know, if we're not careful, dear folks, child of God, we got to remember that if we find ourselves getting in situations that really and honestly dirty up the vessel of God, we too get contaminated. And we can get contaminated very easily where we render ourselves useless. Those people that got contaminated, basically what they were doing, they were quarantined and they were put in a place roped off and in a separate place in town, and they could not leave for whatever reason. And you know, they were pretty much useless in their effectiveness and their jobs and everything. And sadly, that's what happens to God's children sometimes. We do get into situations, whether it be what we're talking about, what we're viewing, and it contaminates us. And what does God say here is that we need to purge ourselves. Listen, let me ask you something tonight. Who is it that you are around in your life that's a vessel to dishonor? You know, the Bible tells you and gives you a command that you ought to purge yourself from that uncleanness. It might be gossip. It might be bitterness. It might be viewing things that you shouldn't be viewing. It might be sharing pictures that you shouldn't be sharing. And every time you get around that, and every time you listen to that talk, it may be somebody that continues just to insist on using profanity and vulgarity and sexual innuendos. And you go down the line, and somebody, you get around that, and you make it a habit not separating yourself. You too get contaminated. And God says here that those people, those vessels to dishonor, are basically set on a shelf of uselessness. You know, I heard the illustration. There was a man that had four vessels. He had four shelves. There was a vessel of clay, earthen vessel. You had a wooden vessel. You had a golden and a silver vessel. And they were all sitting up on the shelf. And, you know, you were wondering, okay, well, what is the master going to use? Well, if he comes in, which one's he going to pick? Well, the master did come in. And there was a discussion on which one the master would take. And boy, he looked around, he looked at the vessels, and they asked him, so which one are you going to take? Well, he says, I really don't know. He says, surely you're going to take this golden one. It's all pretty on the outside, looks sharp, looks good. Don't you want to use that one? And he said, I can't tell you that I will. But they were kind of dumbfounded about it. Well, why not? He said, well, I don't really know yet. I need to know what's on the inside. And he grabbed the golden vessel, probably the prettiest one there, looked inside, said, mm-mm. I can't use this. This one's dirty. He picked up the silver, same thing. Then he picked up the wooden vessel, and the same thing. And then he reached up to the top, and he got that earthen vessel, and he looked at it, and he said, ah, this is the one I'm looking for. He said, why? He said, this one's clean. This is the one I want to use. And that's what God says, ladies and gentlemen. God is looking for vessels that are clean. That he can see that are willing to purge themselves of things that can contaminate us and affect us and remove our usefulness. Because let's ask ourselves, why are we here if we are saved by the grace of God? Are we here to impact people for Christ? Are we here to be a shining light so that others might see the power of the gospel? Oh, my dear friends, we got to understand that, yes, our value does not change once we're right with God through salvation. But one thing that does change, it is our vessels. Our worth will never change. God will never look any less of you after you become a child of God. No matter what you do, He will never think less of you. Your worth never changes, but guess what will? Your witness. Your worth will never change in the eyes of God. But where's your witness for the glory of God? Where's that? I want to be a vessel fit for the glory of God. A skeptic towards whom a Christian had shown great kindness said to him, I don't believe in Christ. He said, I do believe in you. And I will try to believe in Christ because you tell me it is He who has made you what you are. That's a vessel. That's a vessel to honor. That's a vessel that God is looking for. And He says here, after a man purges himself, look what He says in verse 21. He says, a vessel sanctified. What does that word sanctified mean? It means to be set apart. You'll be set apart for the work of God and for the glory of God. And it says, and meet for the Master's use. It means you'll be ready to be used of the Master. Oh, may God help us to have a desire to be used of Him. Oh, used of the Master instead of being put up on that shelf of uselessness. I don't know if you've ever been in that awkward, embarrassing moment where you have company over and you're distributing the dishes or getting the dishes down or somewhat, and for whatever reason, It might have been the kids got in a hurry. You told them once they finished the dishes, they could watch their favorite movie or something, so they thought the cabinets could magically get them clean or something. But anyway, they somehow got in the cabinet, and you find out that, ooh, something got missed here. That macaroni and cheese is still there. And it's hard as a rock. It ain't no real quick scrub on that one. That's going to have to soak in some Ivory soap for about 5 hours. But you say, ooh, you know. Well, what do you do anyway? You say, oh, anyway, it's just a little yellow decoration. They'll get over it. And you go take it to your guest. No, that'd be really embarrassing. You go, you put it up, and you grab another one. That's what? And you grab a clean one because it's useful. What happened to the other one? It got set aside. And dear friends, tonight, if it doesn't bother you that God could possibly set you aside because you refuse to purge yourself, that's a low place, dear friend. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. And He is asking us to purge ourselves for those things that infect us, those things that contaminate us, and set them aside. And He says here at the end of verse 21, He said, prepared unto every good work. You know, I'm not questioning here about people's salvation. By the way, any of you that constantly doubt other people's salvation or for whatever reason, I've done it before, I've been guilty. Can I just show you a verse real quick that will help you? And this should settle it for all of us. Go back with me and look in this same passage. Now, He's dealing with false teachers. He's dealing with people that are causing confusion. And I want you to see verse 18. He's talking about who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. It's false doctrine. And then he says what? And overthrow the faith of some. Hey, by the way, that's another reason to keep your vessel clean. There are people around us in the household of God. You got to remember what the context is here. In the great house, what's the great house? That's the church. And yes, even in a church like Crooked Creek Baptist Church, there are people. The people of God who have no desire to honor the Lord God. Yes, it's sad, but it's true. And what do you do to those type of people? Well, what you do is you purge yourself and you say, you know what, to that person by grace, you say, I cannot partake in that. I don't think that's right. You do it with grace. You do it with love. And you say, you know what, you shouldn't either. Let's not do that. I was so thankful. I'm not trying to embarrass Hunter. Hunter's made mistakes. Hunter's sinned. But I appreciate a testimony from one of his buddies from high school. Hunter, at a little get-together, I talked to one of his buddies from high school, and he was very transparent, good guy. But he said, you know, I always appreciated Hunter. He was one of those fellas that said, usually when we were getting ready to do something that we knew we shouldn't have done, he was that one that said, you know what, guys? We probably shouldn't do this. May God help us and to all be of that way. And I know Hunter, he would say, now listen, I hadn't always said that when I should have. And we all realize we hadn't been perfect. But the fact of the matter is, that attitude, that heart that we all need to ask God to help us to be that one that says, you know what? Let's don't do this. Let's don't look at this. Let's don't talk like this. Guys, we need to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. You say, boy, you sure are getting passionate about that. Well, God's passionate about it. He doesn't want His children set on the shelf of uselessness. That's not God's will. He wants all of His children to be gathered together to be vessels to honor. Oh, I tell you, it is the Lord. But the verse I was going to show you is, look in verse number 19. Nevertheless, he says, even though there are going to be some that are going to confuse others and misdirect others and draw others away, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Get this. The Lord knoweth them that are His. I'll read that again. The Lord knoweth them that are His. You know what that says right there, church? It doesn't matter whether we know or believe or whatever, whether a person's saved or not. God knows. God knows. And I'm not going to spend my life trying to figure out whether somebody's saved or not. I'm going to try to live a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to try to encourage people to believe the gospel and to live a life that's glorifying to our wonderful and marvelous Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of our life, who is worthy of our best. That's who I want to be. But the Lord knows those that are His. And those that are His, He wants to use. Dear friend, oh, I pray that we'll see this. One little girl, saved at a young age, she went to the Baptist chapel here. It just happened to be a Baptist chapel. And she went to the pastor and the deacons, and she said, "I want to join the church. I've been saved." So one of the deacons that was just talking with her, you know, counseling with her, said this, "Young lady, were you a sinner?" And she said, "Well, are you speaking before this change of that I speak?" And she said, "Yes, sir," she replied. And he said, "Well, are you now a sinner?" She said, "Yes, sir, I feel I am a greater sinner than ever." Then continued the deacon, "What change can there be in you?" She said, "I don't know how to explain it." But she said, "I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now I'm a sinner running away from sin." And that gave him his answer right there. As she had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and she at one time went after sin. That was her natural desire. That's what she went after. But then she said, "I'm running from it." And oh, that is what God desires us for us to be, is to run from sin in our lives. And that when we see revival take place in our personal lives, that's what happens. I'm telling you, you see that happen in the church of God. And what happens when revival takes place? God's people start getting right. And we become vessels to honor. And what happens is lost people start seeing it. And lost people start seeing the difference that God is making in our life. And the things that He is doing. And it will result in many coming to know Christ. But it must first start with us. It must start with God's people. Realizing that we need to be vessels that are to honor, fit for the Master's use. One of my jobs in the Coast Guard, when I was a bosun's mate, one of the jobs I despised, okay? We periodically, usually about every few months, we had to lift we had a 44-foot vessel that we would bring out of the water. We would dry dock it right there in Charleston where we were. We'd get this huge hydraulic lift, would come down, straps would get underneath it, and the bars as well, and it would lift it up out of the water. Well, you remember, it's salt water, and there in the inland of Charleston, Ashley River, Charleston Harbor, and one of the reasons we brought it up out of the water, one of the main reasons is to clean the bottom of the boat. Because it didn't take long there in salt water that it would just collect barnacles. These hard clay-like material that cakes up on the bottom of these boats, and it significantly slows the boat down. And when we're chasing or whatever we're doing, going after folks or trying to get to a drowning victim or just something going wrong, we have to have our vessels going quickly as possible. And so we would crank those babies up out of the water. And the way we did it is they'd lift it up. It was the bottom of the boat was probably right out at 6 feet. And we had these utensils, long-looking shovel-like instruments, but they were flat. And we would just go through, and we had those lower-rate guys like myself at the time. We'd be under just scraping those things like crazy, man. It took a lot of hard work. But boy, we'd scrape them down, get it nice and smooth, and then, of course, when we dropped the boats down in the water, they would. They'd get right back up to normal speed. But you know what? That was a vessel that had gotten contaminated. It got some things caked up on it, and it was not as useless, and it was not being able to be used as it was intended. And folks, that's what God wants us to do with our spiritual lives. And that's what we're doing this week. That's what we have been doing. We're asking God, just lift us up out of the water, Lord. View us. If there's anything that's impeding our vessels from being used for Your glory, oh God, would You help me to purge myself from those things? And when You do that, it will catch on quick. People around you will remark, wow, you're not saying that anymore. You're not doing that anymore. You're not viewing that anymore. Wow. There's some purging going on. I want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Let's pray.